You're listening to Civic Media. You can tune into any of our live shows on any radio station across the state with the Civic Media app. Find us in your phone's app store and listen anytime, anywhere.
As the 21st century began, human evolution was at a turning point, a dumbing down. Until humanity was incapable of solving even its most basic problems.
This is called adding. I have two beans, then I add two more beans. What does that make?
A very small casserole.
Most everyone's mad here.
I'd like to have an argument, please.
You stupid idiot! You filthy worm! You bloated sack!
Idiocracy.
For the smartest guy in the world, you're pretty dumb sometimes.
Good stuff. A little Ren and Stimpy there.
Yeah, I like
love
it.
Love that stuff. Mm-hmm. Yes, another edition of Idiocracy. We're waiting for Idiocracy 2 at the movie theaters.
It's John and Gordy on a Monday afternoon. You can call us, 855-752-4842, or send us a text on the Civic Media app.
I think Trump might have stolen the plot line for the next adventure of Idiocracy.
Really?
So, yeah, I think that might have happened.
How so?
Few other pictures here. Big sow. You know, fattest pig award was given up by that pig. Gave it to Trump. Now Trump has it. I like this. Indiana Jones gave Trump the Ark of the Covenant. That worked for me. You know.
God, I hope he opens it.
Good one, Aaron.
Yeah. and Jesus gave up the thorny crown to Trump as well. Awarded him that. And Jabba the Hutt presented Trump with Han Solo carbonite, the carbonite version of Han Solo. And that was kind of a nice little gift for Trump.
He does like detaining people.
Yes. That's a long detainment right there. So, and then her, you know, there's another picture of the trophy drop-off center with these dumpsters.
Oh,
you know, I know Kimmel started this thing,
right.
And we had a texter also, may have come up with it on his own as well. But what a great idea. And, you know, John and Gordy were putting something together, trying to get, like, let's send stuff to Trump.
Right.
Trophies. But everybody's got the idea, and
everybody
I think it's a fantastic idea.
Yeah.
I mean, if, you know, no, we just played the reason why he liked taking the Peace Trophy.
Prize.
Yeah, the Nobel Peace Prize.
Right. She offered it to me.
Well, yeah.
Well, it might be rude not to take it.
Yeah. I know. It was such a ridiculous, frivolous reason to take it. That he'd take anything. My bowling trophies from the 60s.
Why not? What else are you going to do with them?
Yeah.
Yeah. Get them out of the closet. Take them out of the basement.
Just outrageous. God. Okay. All right. Hey, this just came out. Trump's letter to the Prime Minister of Norway.
Oh, really?
Yeah, so you might have heard it this morning. Dear Jonas, Harry Sisson put this out. Dear Jonas, considering your country decided not to give me the Nobel Peace Prize.
I mean, that's a good way to start the letter.
Yeah.
Where is this going to go?
Yeah.
Okay.
For having stopped 8 wars. Plus, I no longer feel obligated to think purely of peace.
Oh, boy.
Now he's off, you know, not happy, apparently. He says, I have done more for NATO than any other person since its founding.
Okay.
No, he's trying to dissolve it. He tried to dissolve it the first time he was in office.
Right.
And now NATO should do something for the United States. The world is not secure unless we have complete and total control of Greenland. Thank you, President DJT.
Yeah. Well, Sweden and Finland and Norway and the UK and Denmark and France and Germany and the Netherlands have all kind of gotten together.
Yes.
And
they put together the trade bazooka.
That was Macron's idea, apparently. He came up with the name
of
it.
That is a great name.
Trade bazooka.
That'll catch on.
I love
that'll
that.
Catch on.
I love it. Well, they're going to send, they're, you know, making plans to protect Greenland.
Sure.
And keep them in the, keep them in NATO. And they're already sending troops, apparently.
All right. Now, you've heard of Davos, right? A lot of rich people go to Davos and kick around the idea of controlling the rest of the world.
Okay.
This guy is Rutger Bregman. And I think he must be a new multi-billionaire or something like that. That's who usually ends up at these places.
Okay. They
take their jets out there, the personal jets.
Yeah.
But anyway, he got up and this was what he said to these individuals all sitting at this desk with him. Let's listen to Cut 163.
Here we go.
I'm not sure if that's the right one.
Oh, okay.
Please stand by.
I mess these things up again. Yeah, it's 260. Oh, I'm sorry, 263. I said 163? Yeah, 263.
This is my first time at Davos, and I find it quite a bewildering experience, to be honest. I mean, 1,500 private jets have flown in here to hear Sir David Attenborough speak about, you know, how we're wrecking the planet. And, I mean, I hear people talk in the language of participation and justice and equality and transparency. But then, I mean, almost no one raises the real issue of tax avoidance, right? And of the rich just not paying their fair share. I mean, it feels like I'm at a firefighters conference and no one's allowed to speak about water.
Yeah.
Right? there was only one panel, actually.
Well, we've had two. You're the second panelists.
There was only one panel.
Let's go there.
One panel hidden away in the media center that was actually about tax avoidance. Yeah. I was one of the 15 participants. So something needs to change here. I mean, ten years ago, the World Economic Forum asked the question, what must industry do to prevent a broad social backlash? The answer is very simple. Just stop talking about philanthropy and start talking about taxes.
Yes.
Taxes, taxes. We need to. I mean, just 2 days ago, there was a billionaire in here. What's his name? Michael Dell. And he asked a question like, name me one country where a top marginal tax rate of 70% has actually worked.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I'm a historian. The United States. That's where it has actually
right
worked.
Here.
In the 1950s, during Republican President Eisenhower, the war veteran, the top marginal tax rate in the U.S. was 91% for people like Michael Dell. You know, the top estate tax for people like Michael Dell was more than 70%. I mean, this is not rocket science. Mm-hmm. I mean, we can talk for a very long time about all these stupid philanthropy schemes. We can invite Bono once more, but come on, we got to be talking about taxes.
Yeah, exactly.
That's it. Taxes, taxes, taxes. All the rest is bullshit, in my opinion.
There you go. And okay. He's absolutely right about that. And the effective tax, by the way, even though it was like 90%, was down to like 60%. So they paid their taxes, and a lot of times, in order to get the tax deductions that they needed, they invested in their companies.
Yes.
And got the tax deduction that way, and the companies
made everything better.
And then people got more jobs.
Yeah.
You know, it was
more money.
It was a great formula. Yeah. It worked so well.
Yeah.
And now we're hearing stupid excuses like, well, if you tax them a lot, they won't try. They'll. You know, if you don't pay them a lot of money, they won't make the next vaccine that'll save the world.
Okay.
No, that's not how it works. It's never worked like that. I remember this is the way they talked about it back in the 60s for me, was that if you don't want that job, there's somebody behind you that will take it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. So if you don't want to work because you have to pay higher taxes, there'll be somebody behind you that will do it instead.
Right.
That's what that was the philosophy back in the 60s.
That was the
I think
way.
We should bring that thing back because
that's great.
That makes a hell of a lot more sense than saying, well, if a person's not going to make a lot of money developing that vaccine, they're not going to try.
Right.
You know, it's just, no, they're going to do that because they want to save people's lives. That's why they come up with vaccines.
Yeah.
It's not all based on money or transactional. My God, anyway, this guy has the right thing. And they always say, well, it's unfair, you know. Rich people already pay a lot of money. No, they don't.
No.
What they're doing is they're paying it into the government who's going to give it back to them in a tax cut.
Right.
This is a scam. Come on. This is
the
so
fix
simple.
Is in.
This is so simple, really, kind of bottom line. My God.
Yeah. And if they finally did get taxed, guess what? They'd still be rich. Yes. You know, it's not like they're not going to be rich anymore if they have to pay taxes for a few years, you know.
They still have more money than any of us will ever see.
Yes.
Well, the trick that they have is they have all of this money. They borrow money from themselves.
Right.
And because they're doing that, they can write off the taxes on the money they're borrowing from themselves. Mm. You know, they don't have to take loans out like you and I have to do it. They're beyond that. Yeah. So they can get all these tax write-offs, borrow their own money. Unbelievable stuff. You know, if you knew all of this stuff, you wouldn't sit there defending, well, they shouldn't pay those kind of taxes, you know? Yeah. No, they're making the money on a tax system, on a system in this country that we all pay into. This is the free market system that Gordy and I and Aaron, everybody has paid into out of our paychecks. We're not seeing the benefits they have. It's time to pay forward, to give us that chance to move up the ladder into the next bracket.
Come on.
Do whatever they can. And then they can pay this money back to us and help society move along. That's the philosophy.
Right.
And for some reason, it doesn't seem to sink in for conservatives, some conservatives, or many of the MAGAs out there, sadly.
Well, we keep going towards a system where it's the haves and the have-nots. You know, the middle class is basically disappearing.
Exactly.
You know, right before our eyes, and that's
bad
for everybody.
Yeah.
I mean, really.
I mean, you get a lot of money, you work hard, you save all this money, and then you get an illness, and you spend all of the money, and you're back where started again.
You're right.
So it's not a good system. It keeps everybody in their class.
Yeah.
So, you know, let's, you know, if the Democrats take control of the Congress, I really hope that they just start from scratch. I mean, the country's already completely destroyed and
ripped apart.
Changed.
Yeah.
So why not just start from scratch
with a
tax system with universal health care, which will save all of us a tremendous amount of money and take a load off our minds, our schedules. I mean, this is ridiculous what we have to go through. They're keeping us busy is what they're doing. So we can't protest. We can't really devise a second plan, a better plan.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the system is broken, and so somebody's going to have to come up with a plan.
Well,
and
Well, you know what?
Running out of time.
I'm telling you, John and Gordy are the ones who are coming up with the plan.
The John and Gordy plan?
It's already, yes. All right. And you know, we have a promise here that if we talk to any politician in this program, we are going to ask them why they're not pushing universal health care first,
right?
Why they're not funding two-thirds funding of our public schools and getting rid of voucher schools, because that is taking money away from our school systems.
Mm-hmm.
And then, of course, providing at least the services that we need, making sure that PFAS is taken out of our water.
Right.
Drill new wells for the people who have those bad, tainted wells out there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we need to just start helping people through this.
And universal base pay, I think that's another one.
Universal basic income.
Yes.
Absolutely.
I mean,
it's a gig economy now. It's changed completely.
Yeah. Forget about the minimum wage.
Yeah.
I mean, that's an important fight, too.
Right.
But really, universal basic pay would work out better
for
I think.
Everyone.
Yes.
Uh-huh.
Oh, so many good ideas.
We have
so
all
little
the good
time.
Ideas here, but you know,
we're coming back.
Yeah, I don't know.
We're coming back after a brief timeout. 855-752-4842. It's John and Gordy.
You're listening to Civic Media. Stay up to date on the latest news and information for your local community and Wisconsin by signing up for our free email newsletter. Visit civicmedia.us/email to get started.
Oh, yeah. John and Gordy, and we are in the golden years, right?
That's us. Yes, we are.
This is it.
Yeah, we've been around a while.
Yeah.
Phone lines are back open, 855-752-4842.
I do have something here in regards to the Epstein files.
Oh, yeah?
And this is from Midas Touch. Reporter Aaron Parnas, he came out with this, I guess yesterday, Let's listen to cut 256, I believe. All right.
We have a major Epstein Files update. The Department of Justice, in a late-night filing, just argued in court saying that a court has no authority to adjudicate or enforce the Epstein Files Transparency Act. And they did this super late at night so that the American public wouldn't know about it, but Midas Touch actually caught this court filing as an exclusive. So here's what happened. Representative Ro Khanna, Representative Thomas Massie, in the past week, filed a letter with the Southern District of New York, the judge in the Ghislaine Maxwell case, and said, you need to appoint a special master, an independent monitor, to go through and determine whether or not the DOJ is complying with the Epstein Files Transparency Act. Well, tonight, the DOJ just responded, saying that the federal court lacks the authority to enforce the act, and that Khanna and Massie don't have standing to essentially recommend an independent monitor. In short, the Department of Justice's position tonight is that no court can enforce that, can force them to produce the files.
What?
And everyone needs to know about it. They did this so that happened while people were asleep.
Yep.
Yeah.
That is...
So, case closed.
Well, that's it. Well, we might as well just walk away and say, well, we tried, right? Well,
so
well,
their answer is no.
Yeah.
Just like everything else when someone tries to ask them right. to do something.
Well, Tom Hartman was talking about this a couple hours ago, and he came into the same conclusion. Well, that's it.
Yep.
Guess they don't have to produce them now.
That's all there is to it.
And they were basically saying, you didn't tell us how to produce this. You didn't tell us in what form, you know. Come on. This is ridiculous.
The actual paperwork itself is
they
what you produce.
They have the files no matter what they're on, whether they're just digital or paper or wherever. Turn them over.
I don't think that argument's going to stand.
Apparently not. They just...
No court can tell us what to do.
Come on.
Including probably
that's
next,
what
the
Supreme
Court.
That's what they're
court.
Staying. That, yeah.
I mean, you know, when the Supreme Court comes out against the tariffs, I would assume the arguments look like they were going to come out against it. If they do come out, you know that Trump is not going to follow orders.
No.
And he doesn't really have to follow. Well, he should follow orders because he has other alternative ways to still tariff countries, but it's more specific. It's not general, tariffs on the country.
Nobody's been able to stop him yet.
Yeah,
from doing anything.
Oh, I know.
Nefarious.
I know.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, maybe he's got something.
They slow him down a little bit.
Just have all the money in the world, be able to just hang these things up in courtrooms. Everywhere.
Right. Calling the lawyers.
Yeah.
He's got plenty of them.
Okay. The Democrats are pushing to block billions of dollars from going to rebuild Venezuelan oil. Okay. Now, that industry down there is in sad shape. And the oil companies are saying, well, I don't know. It's kind of a risky investment since we lost our industry twice down there. But anyway... Yeah,
I think they only have enough infrastructure to handle like 10% of what they used to handle.
Yeah.
Something like that. I mean, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
Everything's fallen apart. The whole infrastructure.
And now the very first sale is a billionaire that contributed money to Trump's campaign.
Oh, really?
And that money is now in Qatar.
That's right. He put her to set up a separate account.
Yes, offshore account.
Yeah, only Donald J. Trump can get a hold of that money.
There you go.
Yeah.
So anyway, American taxpayers shouldn't be on the hook for this risky foreign oil project. So a Democrat is pushing this thing. Let's listen to 260.
I don't think it's a good deal for the American taxpayer. What we know is that the president, going in and capturing Maduro, has now said that Americans are going to need to control the oil and rebuild the oil infrastructure of Venezuela. So we had Darren Woods, the CEO of ExxonMobil, say that Venezuela was uninvestable, his word, uninvestable, which angered the president. Absent some sort of major subsidy, I think the likelihood is very small that these companies are going to want to go on their own volition. Personally, and many of my colleagues do not believe that it's a good use of $100 billion or $200 billion.
Yeah, I'm with you on that.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah. Well,
they don't, none of the oil companies seem particularly interested.
Oh, well, you know, it's just one of those things that I know. See, we have no control over that country. It's a huge country. And
the president thinks he's the president of Venezuela as well as being the president of the United States.
So, yeah, we have to somehow secure what's going on down there. They've got roving gangs down there. They've always had that, by the way. So what's going to happen?
Yeah.
Are we going to be the police power down there? Obviously, we're going to have to be in order to get those oil companies to feel secure enough to spend billions of dollars for maybe 1 or 2 years of oil. I say 1 or 2 years because I really think that EVs are going to take off. We're not going to even need this oil, except for maybe plastic products.
This kind of oil. Isn't that part of the problem, too? Oil. This is really what kind of oil?
It's very thick, gummy oil.
Not really good oil.
Yeah.
It's bad oil. Yeah.
It's not the clean stuff that the U.S. comes up with, but we don't have, we can't make it into gasoline here because we haven't put those kinds of, what are they called?
Refineries.
Refineries.
Thank you.
We're both sitting here trying to come up with that word. But we don't have them. And why haven't we built refineries that can take our own
oil? Doesn't matter.
Oil.
Okay.
Well, anyway.
News is next. We're back in our final half hour of John and Gordy. Jump on the phone line if you want to get in. 855-752-4842. Coming back after this. It's John and Gordy in the afternoon. On a Monday, kind of cloudy in downtown Madison, capital. Looking a little overcast today. We had a lot of sunshine earlier, but clouds have moved in. 855-752-4842. Back with John Peterson. I'm Gordy Young, along with our producer, Aaron Zommers. And let's go to the phones right now.
All right,
we have Gene from Eau Claire. Good afternoon, Gene.
Well, good afternoon, guys. I just want to compliment you guys, John, Gordy, and Aaron, on the outstanding job that you're doing, keeping us informed. Love the music. Love some of the lightheartedness once in a while that we all need. Mm-hmm. And, this is just my personal biased opinion, and it is biased because I've been watching live, and it's just sickening watching the war on Americans as Mr. Wonderful thinks that he should have a peace prize. And it's just, it makes me sick. I'm sorry to say this, Republicans, but those of you who support this stuff, I have zero respect for any of you that you don't understand how awful this is to all the people in our country. And I'm sometimes like you guys, kind of speechless, and sometimes it's hard to find the words because it's just so unbelievable. But the main thing is I love that you're going to question people that come running for office and have some really good ones, because we've got to elect people to change this crap around. And that guy from up north thinks he's going to run our state. He better start running the other way, because boy, if it wasn't for our governor that we had right now, we would have a Scotty Walker mess just as bad as what our country's in when he tied people's hands behind their, you know, with those cuffling or whatever they had. I watched
zip ties,
know, during the protest, and they had the older women who were singing handcuffed and behind their back, and they could hardly walk. And I'm in Eau Claire, so when I seen that, I didn't know what was going on. I cried. So we can't have a Scotty Walker regime come back in here, because we need to save our state, too. So thank you, guys. Keep up the great work. Appreciate you guys. Bye.
Thank you, Gene. Yeah.
Thanks.
Wow.
Yeah, that's a great call.
I'm with her on that. You know, it's...
We
expect, or at least Tom Tiffany expects us to vote for him when he did absolutely nothing in Congress to stop this mess from happening. Nothing. And now he expects to run the state? Oh, man. He is sorely mistaken. Absolutely.
Yeah.
All right.
That seems to be the take on it from a lot of people that are familiar with him.
Yeah. So, well, you know, it's a mystery to me why anybody voted him into the House anyway.
Mm.
But, you know, he's not showing up for debates with the other candidate. It's just, one of those things. He thinks he can just glide in because he's a congressman. Well, sorry, you know, you haven't done anything in Congress to really help us out. In fact, you've taken our health care away. So we should invite you into the state to be our governor? I don't think so. Goodbye.
Well, you know, that's one thing about all these candidates that are running on both sides of the aisle. I mean, if they're not willing to go to town halls,
yes,
or they're not willing to go door to door and talk about their plans or their policies or their ideas or to go on a listening campaign, why would you vote for them?
Yeah.
Why, if you don't know what they stand for, right, you got to do some homework.
And if they have the same old cliches that are used by a lot of the people on the right, then ignore it. I mean, what can you do? The best thing you can do, obviously, is to vote for the other candidate and somebody who's going to help us use some of that tax money that is building up $4 billion in a state surplus. That's unthinkable. That shouldn't be like that, because that is a lot of money that should have been spent on the state. It's not excess. It should have been spent on the state. And it's like that every biennium. It's like $4 billion extra. We're going to give a tax cut out again. Mm-hmm. All right, now I want to get to the EV issue here.
Yeah, this up before. You've got the space car.
It's
great, but you're down to 20 miles, and now you don't know what you're going to do.
No,
is that what I understood you to say?
I was going to charge it overnight,
okay,
and I forgot to do it.
Your charger is working.
Yeah.
Okay, right?
Yeah, it's working just fine.
Okay.
And I actually made $4 from MG&E for the last 2 months. Each month, I'm on their saver plan.
Wow.
So I got $4 for each month. I don't know where that is. I hope they took it off my bill. I didn't notice it on my bill. It went over $500. I've got to call them up and find out what the hell is going on.
Something for one month.
Yeah, 1 month. Something happened. You know, it's way over where it normally is.
Are your sons like Bitcoin mining or something?
Yeah, we got a lot of graphics cards going on at once. This is from Cam. How will EVs take off without the infrastructure? I know we could do it, but actual morons are in power.
Okay.
That's true. Right. We had that rolled out. This was something Biden put in place to roll out the charging station throughout the entire country.
Yes.
And we had the money promised to all of the individuals that wanted to put the charging stations in at their businesses and filling stations in each and every state.
Yep.
And then that went on hold. They didn't want to do that anymore. So I don't believe those charging stations are going to be going in anytime soon. All right. And then we have it from Tom out in Hartford, who, by the way, gave me tips on, you know, the charging station that I have installed at my home.
Right.
We've been talking.
Yeah.
Tom, I remember you. He goes, EVs, wishful thinking.
Wow.
Tom, I'm.
What happened, Tom?
Okay. You know, I believe that there is a $7,000 or $7,500 rebate, I think, still on new cars, but I'm not sure. I can't nail that down, but if you have a chance to drive an EV, I think you'd really love it. I mean, it handles so much better, and the power is incredible. We have Cam again. Absolutely not. Wisconsin is not capable of handling driverless vehicles. Well, I don't want driverless vehicles, actually. I don't want to see that happen. All right, let's see. I know I have another one down here. Tom texted back. Too unreliable, too narrow focus, not really usable in cold weather because the batteries lose power in cold weather. The grid is nowhere near ready for the power increase. Dangerous lithium batteries. Tom.
Well, then
it's the saline lithium batteries, right?
Okay.
I believe it is the salt saline batteries that they've come out with now that you can make anywhere in the world. You don't need all these special metals or anything like that. This is really, truly a breakthrough, and it's a Chinese company that makes batteries. Ford is trying to get them to make the batteries for their vehicles. So I believe that is going to be a breakthrough that really we're all going to benefit from. As far as the cold weather is concerned, true. I think I lost about 50 to 75 miles off my charging because of the cold weather. And that's the way it is currently. That's what we have right now.
Well, Tom had another follow-up. He said, not saying if someone wants to purchase an EV. Hang on.
Oh, I know.
Just scrolled
changed, right?
past now. Not saying if someone wants to purchase an EV, go ahead. Just don't ask me to subsidize it, says Tom. Okay, Tom. Well,
Tom.
Come on, man. Which side of the fence are you on this thing? Bouncing back and forth like a BB in a boxcar.
I don't know. I think I'm talking. Well, wait. Maybe it's another guy in a Conowoc. I'm not sure.
Akanakamawak. Yeah. Let's go to Milwaukee.
All right. Let's go to Charles.
Charles has some thoughts on the EVs. Hey, Charles.
Hey, good afternoon, guys. First, he's burning the world down. But beside that, and he's asking for $1 billion to join his peace plan in Gaza. So I wonder, would that go in his personal accounts also? But anyway, on the EV, I don't have one. I have a 23 Prius, and I love it.
Oh, I do too.
I've driven Tesla twice, a Polestar once, and Chevy Bolt a couple of times, and I love them.
Yeah.
They you hit the pedal and you just
go
take off.
Yeah.
you just go. No more dealing with the oil and the gas and all of that stuff. And like I said, I've driven them.
Yeah.
So I rented them. And for Tom, nobody's making you buy one, Tom. Just like nobody's making a woman get an abortion.
Yeah.
You don't have to get one, Tom, if you don't want one. he is butthurt about the EV vehicle.
Yeah.
Like somebody's gonna make him get one.
That's right. Yeah.
Okay.
You know, there is the goal, of course, and this is what Republicans often complain about, is the goal is to do away with all gas engines by 2035 or something like that. And the silliness about all of that is that will be extended if it's not met or meetable. They will extend it. They always do. It's not a big deal. It's not going to stop anything. But here's the thing. This is the thing. As people buy these EVs, they become used vehicles, and then they are available in the used car market, and people can suddenly afford them because they'll be in the range of, 7 to maybe 15,000, and they could start buying the EVs and starting to enjoy them and charging them. Of course, you have to put a charging station at home. That costs $2,000. Okay. My butt still hurts from that one.
Kevin in Maquanago says, why don't you do some research on all the EV cars that were destroyed during the California wildfires and see what an absolute disaster that is trying to get rid of those? Well, get rid of those meaning having to...
The batteries or...
Maybe get rid of them because they're no longer usable.
Yeah, maybe.
They
I don't
burned
know.
Burned up in the fire and they don't know what to do
probably,
with them.
Probably just about disposing of the batteries. Yeah,
maybe so. Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
So, but, I mean, that's true of all cars.
Yeah.
You have to get rid of them somehow, right?
Let's go back to the phones. Jack is on the line from Merrimack. Mm-hmm. Good afternoon, Jack.
Good afternoon, guys. I wanted to point out that gasoline vehicles, and I'm currently driving one now, actually, lose mileage in the very cold weather, too. The density of the air is...
Yes.
significantly greater in weather like this, and my mileage has gone down from, I usually get about 33 with my current vehicle, it's gone down to about 28 at this point.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a significant difference too. Second thing I wanted to say is we're already subsidizing gasoline vehicles indirectly. We have a welfare tax break for the oil companies that's called a depletion allowance. And basically for every gallon of petroleum they pull out of the earth, they get a tax break for it. We're paying that. If we took that income, the first thing I'm going to say is I own stock, inherited stock in one of the oil companies, and they'll still make billions anyway. And the second thing is, if we took that money and used it to build a charging station in virtually every gas station across the country, and there'd be enough there because there's billions involved, we could have a much more viable EV situation than we do have now.
Oh, yeah. Sure. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. You know, the thing is, innovation continues, and we'll have better ways of dealing with all of this.
Yep. And we'll take a brief time out here. Back with John and Gordy. We'll wrap things up after this.
You're listening to Civic Media. Find the latest news, information, and archives of all your favorite shows on the Civic Media website, civicmedia.us.
It's John and Gordy talking about EVs again.
That's now, right.
I'm just trying to help. You know, we have a solution to the problem we have with air pollution. Right. And climate change. But you know what? When people make that argument with climate change, I always switch the topic because I go to the pollution part of it, not climate change so much. I mean, we are inhaling a lot of pollutants.
Right.
Let's stop doing that because a lot of people die from preventable deaths because of these diseases that they get because of pollution, but we can't point a finger at any one industry, and they know it, and that is an externality. That's what they call externalities, and they're not paying for any of that. That's why a lot of green people want to actually get out there and have the industry pay more money in, because we're actually suffering out here paying our own bucks. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I think that the EV movement should continue. We know, and we just heard about Canada taking Chinese vehicles, EV vehicles.
Right.
Yes. And these are like really innovative and very inexpensive. So who knows? You know, they're knocking at the door here.
Yeah.
And one person suggests, if we could just figure out a heat pump to heat the EVs, that would go a long way. They said they moved from Florida and sold theirs mostly because it was a two-wheel drive. And in colder days down there would reduce the mileage. You know, my recommendation, too, is get an all-wheel drive, especially in weather like we have up here in the Midwest.
Yes,
all-wheel drive.
That's the way to go.
Go through the snow a little bit better. I know they have front wheel or rear wheel, but get all-wheel drive.
Right.
And you can take it off to all-wheel, by the way. You can have two-wheel drive during the summer. Mm-hmm. I still don't know how to do that. You know, we were going to Illinois, and, you know, the weather was fine. There wasn't any snow on the roads, and I wanted to put it in two-wheel drive, and I don't know how to do it. So it's a learning process.
This was on the new car?
Yeah.
The space car.
Yeah. Yep. Wow. And then, of course, we have here, Cam says, on the contrary, I'm forcing Tom to get one because he keeps bitching.
Cam.
Okay.
Okay. All right. We have our listeners fighting amongst themselves.
Yeah. Yeah. One other thing, we did get a message from Tom in Hartford saying it's estimated over 30,000 EV batteries exploded, making those fires much worse. It is important to note these were not from EVs. It was in a factory that caught fire. The same thing happens if a coal plant or something catches fire. Any kind of facility like that is going to be dangerous when it catches.
All right. Well, it makes sense to me.
And didn't we discover that EVs, as far as China goes and selling them to Canada, I mean, China is so far ahead of us in this area.
Oh, absolutely.
I mean, solar, wind, they've just, you know, while we're sitting here fighting about it for the last decade or so, they've taken the lead on technology.
My son said, China has all these deserts, and they put all of these wind farms in and solar panels.
Huh.
They are way ahead of the curve. When we sit here and say, well, China got all those coal plants.
No.
That's not true. That's not true.
Right.
It says here, let's see. I'm living with
It's called the Dodge Daytona. What was that from Cam? I see. Have you seen the electric Challenger spiritual successor? That's the Dodge
Daytona. No, I have not seen that.
Don't know that.
It'd be pretty cool, and especially in a hot car, you know. Try living with an EV for a year. Year is not always hybrid. They have a gas engine for reliability. Most used EVs will be scrapped because of the huge cost of the new EV batteries. That's not true because there are aftermarket EV batteries that you could have replace the original equipment. So plus, I think EV technology or battery technology will take off and become a lot less expensive for those batteries, and they'll be able to replace them in the vehicles that if you want to replace them.
just seems like we're in this transition phase. I mean, it's going to be going through this for the next 5-10 years before we settle in on a lot of these things that are making advances right now that'll be affecting us in the future.
Well, one of the things when you were looking around for a Prius, the Prius battery lasts around 10 years or 15 years, something like that. The new batteries that are in the EVs will last around 20 to 30 years.
Yeah.
Wow. So they last a lot longer. So replacing them may not be an issue for most people that have EVs.
Okay.
All right. Just to let you know. And
All right.
You Mr. Know-It-All over here. Is.
Thank God you know all this stuff.
It's up to date on all this.
Who would we turn to?
I know.
I don't know. Now we're getting some more messages here. We got a couple of more minutes to go. Any ideas what's happening on Schwab's show tonight? Aaron, can you look that
That's
up?
A good question. Okay. I'm going to look
it up on TV Guide. And
TV Guide.
Remember that?
Oh, God. I haven't seen a TV Guide. And I don't think they make them anymore, do they?
I don't think so.
I think that went out with high button shoes.
But I used to get the TV Guides because they had really cool pictures on the inside and the covers.
They had good articles, too.
Yeah.
Get the inside.
Well, I used to say that about Playboy, too. They really had good articles.
Oh,
but,
in depth.
Actually, they did.
Yeah.
They were really good. They had some of the greatest artists and the best writers in those magazines.
Yeah. Good stuff. Good stuff.
Well,
all right.
Well, let's have see. We exhausted ourselves here? What? You think we have more messages?
More messages here if you would just scroll up every once in a while. Can we get another mouse? Can we get two mice?
I don't know. I feel like if you plug two mice into the same
computer,
then it
would just be even more confusing.
I don't think that works.
Oh. It can work. They work together, you know, and so you'd be fighting each other the whole time.
Well, what else is new?
Yeah. Okay. We'll arm wrestle or maybe have an Indian leg fight or something, whatever they call them.
Whatever.
Schwab is off tonight, but he has a best of show.
Oh, it's one of his best of shows.
That's correct.
There's a reason they call him best of.
Yes.
Yeah, because they're really, really good. So stay tuned for Pete Schwab and the Nightlight crew coming up next. Right?
All right. I'm waiting for it. Okay. I'm looking forward to it.
Hey, that's going to do it for us, but we'll be back tomorrow from 2 until 5. We hope you'll join us then. It's John and Gordy. So long, everybody.
See you later.
Goodbye.
Bye-bye now.
Let's get out of here.
Not the morning anymore.
Yeah, we might have to look into that.
Let the sun shine. It's the John and Gordy Show.
The national news cycle never stops, but it can be hard to find news about your local community. Civic Media is dedicated to providing quality local and state news coverage across Wisconsin. With the Civic Media app, you can get notifications about local stories that matter to you and your community. Find the free Civic Media app in your phone's app store and choose notifications from the menu to tell us what kind of news you want to hear about.